Now back to verse 29. Okay? Thirdly, when the destruction would come, Matthew 24, 29 through 34. Matthew 24, 29 through 34. Now, wait a minute. Somebody says, verse 15 to 28, that's the destruction of the temple? No, that's the siege of the city. That's not the destruction of the temple. Do not equate the siege with the destruction. Josephus is very clear on this matter. He said that the siege was hot, the doom of the city was imminent. Josephus, a general captured by the Romans, turned a historian, was then taken up before the walls during the siege with a truce. And he pled with the people, please, cease and desist. Lay down your arms. Save your people. And don't let this beautiful, beautiful house of God be destroyed. Josephus tells us that. So, city is, for all good purposes, gone. No, Lord, God on our side. 300 of us can make 3 billion of the Roman legions. I mean, Gideon and all that, and our heritage and all this. See, misguided zeal. They went ahead with it, and it was only then that the temple was destroyed. Now, what is Jesus predicting in the 24th chapter? He's predicting the destruction of the house. They came outside the temple, and they said, see those stones? He said, I'm telling you, those stones, they'll be torn down. When, Lord? And what will be the sign of your coming to do it? He said, let me tell you what the sign of my destroying the temple will not be. Let me tell you what the sign will be for you to get out. And then I'm going to tell you when the temple will be destroyed. And when my prophecy of the destruction of the temple is destroyed, then you'll see me coming on power. Then you'll see me on clouds of heaven. Then you'll see that what I'm saying is true. You'll see I have the power. I am sitting in power. And you'll say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. It's only when the temple is destroyed. Not until. Do not equate the siege with the destruction of the temple. Now we're ready, verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days. What's the tribulation of these days? It's not the destruction of the temple. It's the siege. The siege was the beginning of travail. He said so. Verse 21. The Roman armies come. They lay siege. They begin to have terrible, terrible problems. And he says, then shall there be great tribulation. But now verse 29. After the tribulation of those days. After the tribulation. Of what? The siege. The sun shall be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. Lord, what's your sign? Well, the sign of my coming is the Roman armies. What's the sign that it's Jesus who is coming to destroy the temple? He said, you'll see the sign in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. If you've got a question as to how all the tribes could be fulfilled just in the city of Jerusalem, I'd anticipated that. And they shall see the sign of the Son of Man on the clouds of heaven, coming with power and glory. What was it he is later to tell these hierarchy? As he stands before them to be tried. Are you the Son of God? He says, thou hast said, I'm the Son of God, and henceforth ye shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. And how do they see it? When he smashes the house, then they'll see that Jesus is God, that he is the one who come in the name of the Lord, that he did do what he prophesied he did, and until the temple is destroyed, the fulfillment of the prophecy isn't there. As long as that house stood, the prophecy did not receive fulfillment. The destruction of the city is not the destruction of the house of God. He said, see those stones on that house? That's what I'm talking about. And until that house is destroyed, no good. And they were under siege for months and months. And until that house was destroyed, they did not see Jesus' prophecy fulfilled. But after the siege, after the tribulation and the horror of the siege, then you'll see the heaven shaken. You'll see the sign of the Son of Man appear. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. You'll see in the destruction of the temple. Then you'll see what I'm saying is so. Then you'll see the Son of Man coming on clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he'll send forth his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And you say, there's the second coming. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven even to the other. And I have a thought on that, and I'll suggest it to you. I'm not sure of it. But this is what I believe, that with the destruction, that's a confirmation he's the Son of God, and then he was able to gather together those people, the Jews, who finally believed him, they became Christians. Now verse 32. So you see, What we're saying here is, when the destruction would come, when would it come? Now learn the fig tree, her parable. When the branch has now become tender and put forth his leaves, what do you know? You know summer's nigh. He said in chapter 16, verse 1 through 3, says you look at the sky and you say, here's the weather today. Says it's going to be cloudy or it's going to be rainy. You look at the sky and you say it's going to be fair. He says, you've seen that happen so many, 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 many times, you can tell weather reports. But he says, now then, you can't read the signs of the times. And he chided them for it. Over here he says, read the signs of the times. You know what happens, you see these trees bloom, you know what's getting nigh, don't you? He says, even so ye, also when, here's the time, when ye see all these things, but I'm not there to see it. These things, what things? The things that we talked about in verses 15 through 28. When you see these things, know, know. Now you can know the sign is the Roman armies. And when you see the Roman army, when you see the siege, and when you see the tribulation, and when you see all this, know. He's at the door. What door? Jerusalem's door, battering it down. I tell you truly, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Everything from verse 34 back to verse 3 is the destruction of the house of God, which came at the end of the siege of Jerusalem. Now, Roman numeral 5 is the warning to believing and to watch. The warning is to believing and to watch. Matthew 24, verses 35 through 51. The warning to believing. What has he said? What he said was, I will destroy the house. He says, look here. Let me tell you what the sign isn't. So that false prophets won't lead you astray and you won't recognize the sign and escape. You see? He says, number two, here's what the sign is, Roman armies. And in view of that, don't let them lead you astray. And he says, this is great tribulation to come upon you in the sea. And number three, he says, now, when the temple's destroyed, then you'll see me sitting on the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven, and you'll know I'm God, and you'll know I rule nations. Now he says in verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The point is, what I've said is totally reliable. He said, my word is reliable. But of that day, the destruction of Jerusalem, and of that hour, knoweth no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. And beginning now, in verse 37, you'll find the example of Noah. He says, as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Look, are we studying, or are we just reading glibly? Are we trying to understand? He says, as it was in the days of Noah, that's how it'll be in the coming of the Son of Man. What do you mean the coming of the Son of Man? Well, when did the Son of Man come? When the Roman armies came, the Son of Man came. He's not talking about the second coming to end the world and have great judgment. He's talking about the judgment on the city of Jerusalem, that coming. And he said, as it was in the days of Noah, and you stay in your context and you can see that's definitely exegetically sound. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, that's where it's going to be when I come to destroy this place. How was it in the days of Noah? Noah preached 120 years by the Holy Spirit of God, and they didn't believe, and only 8 got out alive. Why? When they got into the ark, why? When they saw the sign of his proof, which was proof of his preaching, the waters rising and the rains descending, the great depths released, they wouldn't get in that ark. They didn't believe. And as it was in the days of Noah, they didn't believe the preaching of an inspired man. So in the days when Jesus sends that Roman army, they will not believe me. As it was in the days of Noah, they didn't believe the preaching. That's the way it's going to be when I come to destroy Jerusalem. They will not believe me. And what did he say? He said, when you see the Roman army, get out. And he said, they'll see it and they won't get out. And Josephus tells us that when the Roman armies begin to surround the city and get ready to lay siege, there was a glutting of the city of Jerusalem by the Jews. Jesus says, no. Get out of the city if you're in it. Don't go back in it if you're in it. And the city was glutted with people who didn't believe him. And he says, that's the way it'll be. How do you know that? He knew the gospel would be preached in all the world before it would ever happen. Then he knew it would happen, when it happened, built a boat around it and signed it. And then he said over here, he said, and let me tell you how it's going to be. They won't believe me. They didn't believe it. Prophecy fulfilled again and again and again and again. This is a great prophet. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, they didn't believe him. That'll be the way it is when I come to destroy Jerusalem. They won't believe me. And Josephus says, they didn't believe him. He says there were a few that got out to the mountains like Jesus said. There's a few that left. They believed him. And so Jesus is saying, believe me. Now watch verse 40. Then shall two men be in the field. Now look over here. In the relating of the siege, verse 15 through 28. What did he say? Verse 25 and 6. Behold, I've told you beforehand, if therefore they say to you, behold, he's in the wilderness, don't go forth. Behold, he's in the inner chambers, don't go leave. And there's another one out here. I can't find it right now. That's good enough. Now he says here in verse 40, then shall two men be in the field. What did Jesus say to do when you see the Roman army? Leave. Get it. Don't go back and what? Don't go back. Just don't go back. Remember Lot's wife, said Luke. Luke said, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. She wanted to go back. Turned to a pillar of salt. Now he said, two's in the field, one's taken. The other's left. Why? One of them got out, the other ran to the city. One was taken, one was left. One believed, one didn't. Two women should be grinding at the mill. One believed and said, I'm leaving. The other one said, oh, come on. She was taken. Yeah. One left. Watch therefore, for you know not on what day your Lord cometh. But know this, know, the K-N-O-W kind. Understand, you can know that if the master of the house had known in what watch the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken through. And so he says, you can know that same thing. You know what the sign is. You know how it's going to be. Therefore, be ready, for in an hour you think not, that's when the Son of Man cometh. But who's coming? Who's coming? Titus Vespasian. Who's coming? Titus Vespasian. To do what? To destroy the city. And what do? Get out! One's taken, one's left. One believed, one didn't. Now, I told you beforehand, and now you know. Who then is faithful in that wise servant whom the Lord hath set over his household to give them their food in their due season? Blessed is that servant. He says, now you know who's the faithful servant. It's the one who does what his Lord says. He says, now you know who the faithful servant is. It's the one whom the Lord said to do something. And when the Lord comes, he finds him doing it. What did he just say for them to do? Watch. He said, verily I say unto you, that he will set him over all that he hath. There's the reward. For if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord tarrieth, look at there, my Lord tarrieth, he said an hour in which you think he won't come, that's when he's coming, and shall begin to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink and be drunk. In other words, he's forgot what his Lord told him. The Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he expects him not. He's talking about the parable here, the steward not taking care of things. He thinks his master's gone and he's using all this to his own hedonistic benefit. And in an hour when he knoweth not, and shall cut him asunder, appoint his portion with the hypocrites, he says there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now then, he says, even as it is with stewards who are over their master's household, and some are righteous, and they're always taken care of, and it doesn't make a difference when the master comes, they're ready to receive him. He says, so it is also with unfaithful stewards who are in the position of all this money and power and have the authority over their master's money and power. And he says, boy, they use it to their own pleasure, and when he comes, they're not ready for it, and they're found with their hands in the cookie jar, you see. He says, so I'm telling you, when I come, you be ready. The whole 24th chapter that way. Now then, on this aspect of it, look at Luke 21. Read carefully with me. He says, verse 20 through verse 22, when you see the Roman armies coming in Jerusalem, know that a desolation's hand, then get out of Jerusalem. He says in verse 24, for these are the days of God's vengeance. He says in verse 23, woe to them that are with suck. He says, for great distress should be upon this land and wrath unto this people. This people. And he says, they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led captive into all the nations. And they were. They were led captive into all the nations. and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, and the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. There shall be signs in sun, moon, and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, in perplexity for the roaring of the sea and the billows, men fainting for fear and for expectation of things which are coming on the world, the inhabited earth. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall they see the sign of the Son of Man coming in clouds, coming with a cloud, with power and great glory. But when you see these things, what things? When you see the coming of the Roman armies. When you see it. And when you see, and you're up here, out in the field, and you're up here on the top of your house, and you see all this happening, look up! Get your head out of the dirt. He says, lift up your heads. He says, look! Use your eyeballs. Because your redemption draweth nigh. I'm not talking about salvation from sin. Men were being redeemed from sin since Pentecost. Jerusalem wasn't destroyed for 35 years later. He's not saying, at the end of time, you'll be saved. He's saying, with the destruction of Jerusalem, if you keep my sign before you, when you see the Roman armies, brother, get your head up, look! He says, start looking right now, because you don't know when the Roman armies are coming. Whenever they come, that's your redemption, that you believe me and look and get out when you see them. Redeem. Escape. Go on down to read it. And he spake of them a parable of the fig tree. When now they shoot forth, you know some things. Verse 31, even so also when you see these things coming to pass, know the kingdom of God is nigh. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things be accomplished. That is not the second coming. It was the destruction of Jerusalem that took place in that generation. What then would that redemption be but the redemption of their skin from the destruction of Jerusalem? Read on. Verse 34. Take heed to yourself, lest haply your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. And that's the idea of Matthew 24, 45 through 51. Same thing. Be prepared. Don't you be overcharged with surfeiting, with drunkenness, cares of this life. And that day, what day? The destruction of Jerusalem, which will have to take place before this generation passes away, as reliable as my word, come on you as a snare, so that for so shall it come. What shall come? The thing I told you would come before this generation would pass away. What? That which is coming up on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. And somebody says, Ed, if this is the destruction of Jerusalem, why did he say it's coming on all the face of the earth? Well, I'm glad you asked me that, and I'll answer it in a minute. But look at verse 36. Watch ye at every season, making supplication that ye may prevail to escape all these things, and stand justified by faith, not from sin. For the Son of Man. Escape, redeem. Escape from what? Escape from the siege and the destruction of Jerusalem and the horrible things that are to take place in the famine when they ate their children. So he talks about redemption, he talks about escaping, and he meant the destruction. So he says, be prepared or pay the penalty. Now then, we've seen an exposition of the passage. What I want to do now is go to Luke chapter 17. Now can you see that when Jesus' prophecy was fulfilled to the letter, they saw him in control? I mean, how did Jesus know these things would happen? Because he's making them happen, right? So he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. When he destroyed the temple, then what? They saw him coming on the clouds of heaven. A great Old Testament sign of judgment. Now what I want to do is to read Luke 17, and we're going to begin with verse 20. And we're going to, actually it's verse 22, Luke 17, 22 through verse 37. Luke 17, 22 through 37. And it's going to be extremely important that we get this. And we're going to make some contrasts here with Matthew 24. Now read carefully. And he said unto the disciples, the day will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. Let me anticipate this before we read it. Try to see how many days we've got here. Try to see how many days are in this passage of Scripture in Luke 17. How many days? I think you'll find there's just one day. Just one day. It's all the same day. All right, let's read it. He says, you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and not see it. And they say unto you, lo there, lo here, go not away, nor follow after them. For as the lightning, when it lighteneth out of the one part of the heaven, shineth unto the other part of heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. He said, you won't see it. He said, when the day is there, you won't see it. Why? They wouldn't believe. But he says, there, you'll see it if you lift up your eyes. So that's the way it'll be when the Son of Man is in his day. But that was the coming of Jerusalem, the Roman armies, and you know that. You know that. That members of the body of Christ agree with, because verse 34 insists the destruction of Jerusalem would happen before that generation passed away. And Matthew 24, 15 through 28 use this same language about the lightning shining from one end to the other. And so he says, this so shall the Son of Man be in his day. In what day? In the day that he typified or signified by the lightning shining. That's the day of the Son of Man. So there's the destruction of Jerusalem. So the Jerusalem was destroyed. That's when the Son of Man came to destroy it. That's the day of the Son of Man. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. He had to be crucified, didn't he? And as it came to pass in the days of Noah, even so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Says you want to see one of those days. And when you see it, you won't recognize it. When you see it, you won't recognize it. I'm telling you, you'll see it. And I'm telling you what it is, and I'm telling you, you won't see it. Says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it'll be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, they were giving in marriage till the day Noah entered in the ark. The flood came, destroyed them all. Why? They didn't believe. So he said, I'm telling you, these are the days of the Son of Man. You're desiring to see the days of the Son of Man. What was it in the Old Testament? You study the prophets. How many times did the Jews say, oh, we want to see a day of what? Jehovah. A day of Jehovah. And he says, why do you want to see a day of Jehovah? It's blackness. Verse 28. Likewise, as it came to pass in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But in the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. After the same manner shall it be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, what day? In the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In the day of the coming of the Son of Man. In the day you've asked about. In the day you want to see. In the day you won't see. In the day I'm telling you about. In that day, he that should be on the housetop and his goods in the house, let him not go down to take them away. In what day? In the day that's likened unto the coming of the flood in the days of Noah. He said, now, will you see this, Christians? Look here. This is strong. He said in verse 31, in that day, and he just got through talking about the illustration of the days of Noah and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, as it was in the days of the flood, and as it was in the days of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, that will be when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he that's on the housetop. Housetop. Doesn't say at the end of time. We're not talking about the end of time. We're talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. When you're on the housetop and you see the Roman armies, don't go down to get your coat. Get out. Go to the mountains. So what is this sign about Noah? He says, as it was in the days of Noah, they didn't believe the preaching. That's the way it will be with the destruction of Jerusalem. They won't believe me. But for you who believe, if you're on the housetop, get out. For those who don't believe, it'll be like in the days of Noah. If you think Matthew 24 is reference to Noah, is talking about the second coming and the end of time, Luke doesn't agree with it. That's that. Now, verse 33. Whosoever shall seek to gain his life shall lose it. He is not talking about salvation from sin. He's talking about saving your skin. If you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. Why? Remember Lot's wife. Here are the angels pulling them. Saying, come on, girl. Get out of here. She says, oh, I've got my flower crystal back there and my silver and I've got my wedding gown. He says, boy, you're going to be killed. There goes Lot and the boys up there, you see. And Mrs. Lot says, I'm going back to get them. She's turning to a pillar herself. Remember, you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But whosoever will lose his life, and that's what you're going to do. Brother, when you're on the housetop and you're rocking back in your old lazy boy, and about that time the Roman army starts stamping in, and you say, I've got to get my lazy boy up to them mountains. I've got at least half an hour. I'll get my Bronco and I'll hitch my U-Haul to it. You seek to lose your life, brother, you'll save it. You seek to save it, you'll lose it. I say to you, in that night. In what night? Well, what does he say up here in verse 31? In that day. In what day? In the day the Son of Man revealed. He says he calls it a night. It's a day. He says, in that day, in that night, the point is, you don't know when it's going to be. You don't know when it's going to be. But the point is, whenever this happens, it's going to be a dark day. Two men should be on the bed. One's taken. One of them's a Christian. The other one isn't. I mean, both of them are Christians. And one of them says, "What in the world is that?" And they look out the window and says, "Oh my goodness, a Roman army is." And he flees to the mountains. And the other one says, "The other day, I was taken out in the wilderness and I saw the sign." By what later on he'll find out was a false prophet. There shall be two women grinding together, one taken, the other. When? When? Destruction of Jerusalem. And answering. Here's the third question. So I thought there were two questions. Well, in Matthew 24, there's two questions. I tell you, there are three questions. A while ago we saw, what is the sign, Roman army? When will it take place in this generation? Hal Lindsey says, future, all over the world. And these disciples say, "Lord, where? Where what? Where what?" Suppose I was talking to you about we're going to have a gospel meeting in the great city. We're going to do some great things in this great city. And somebody says, "Where?" And I said, "Denver." Here he's talking about a destruction. He says, "You're going to want to see a day of the Son of Man." See, Jesus didn't just prophesy the destruction of Jerusalem once. He did it twice. Luke 17 precedes Luke 21, which is another prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem. And so he's saying, you're going to want to see one of the days of the Son of Man. And when it comes, you won't see it. It'll be like it was in the days of Noah. It'll be like it was in the days of Lot's wife. They won't believe. He says, but it'll happen nevertheless. And they say, "Where, Lord? Where will this day take place?" He says, "Where the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together." You ever read that anywhere else? Matthew 24, 28. He says, let me tell you where it'll be. It'll be where there's a dead body that God will destroy by the vultures, the prophets. And if you prefer to think that these eagles are rather the Roman army, fine, I wouldn't fuss with you a minute. The point is, where will it happen, Lord? All over the world? No. No, Jerusalem. That's where it'll happen. Jerusalem. Now look here. In Matthew 24, look at verses 23 through 27. What do we find? Look at the same thing takes place in Luke 17, 22 through 24. Look at Luke 23, Matthew 24, verses 23 through 27. Now keep your books going back and forth now so we can compare these passages. In Luke 17, 22 through 24, here he says you want to see a day of the Son of Man, and he says as lightning shines out of the one part of heaven and goes to the other, that's how the Son of Man will be in his day. You've got that same thing in Matthew 24 and in verse 27. That very identical thing. But that's within the context of Matthew. And if you're looking at your Bible, you get it. If you don't, you're going to miss it. In Matthew 24, 15 through 28, that's the description of the what? The siege. And of course, the coming of the Roman armies to make the siege. Now that takes place at the destruction of Jerusalem. And the same thing is over here in Luke 17, 22 through 24. So the day of the Lord is the coming of the Roman armies and the siege. Now, I want you to look at Matthew 24, verse 29 through 30, and verses 37 through 39. 29 and 30. But immediately after the days, after the tribulation of those days, and remember, he says up here in verse 21, the tribulation is the siege. But immediately after the siege, can you say that? Immediately after the siege, after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the earth shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and you will see the Son of Man coming on clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he says in verses 37 to 39, as it was in the days of Noah, that's how it'll be when the Son of Man comes to do this. Now look at Luke 17, verses 26 through 30. You see, these are parallels. The same language, identical. Now in Luke 17, 26 through 30, he says the same thing. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, that's how it'll be when the Son of Man is revealed in his day. But what did we find in Matthew 24? In the days of Noah. Somebody thinks, I used to think, I really did, I thought for years, until just recently, I thought for years that Matthew 24, 3 through 34 was the destruction of Jerusalem. And I think our brotherhood does understand that. And then verses 35 on down was the second coming. And that Noah was a prophecy of the second coming. But look here. He says in verses 26 through verse 27, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Look at verse 31. In that day, he that's on the housetop, don't go down to get your goods. In what day? In the day that's likened to the days of Noah. Right? Now, is Luke 17 talking about the destruction of Jerusalem? In that day, you here in Judea do what? Flee to the mountains. Will that apply to Lubbock, Texas? It won't work. Where then do we receive the same illustration in Matthew 24? In what most of us used to think was looking forward to the second coming in the end of time. All you've got to do is look at it. Verses 26 through 30 is identical to Matthew 24, 37 to 39. I used to think it was the second coming, the end of time. But in Luke 17, he says that the days of Noah is likened unto the day of the Lord, which he says in verse 31 is, in that day, the day which is likened unto Noah, in that day he that's on the housetop get out of the city. In that day which is likened unto Noah. It's not the second coming, it's the day when people are on housetops and they're not supposed to go down because you haven't got time because you see the Roman army, you've got to get out to the mountains. It's not talking about the second coming. So these are the same. This is definitely talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. But this is identical language, so it seems like it would be too. Then, in Matthew 24, 16 through 18, we're going to see a parallel here with Luke 17, 41 through 33. Luke 17, 31 through 33. In that day, he that's on the housetop, get out. Remember Lot's wife, don't go back. If you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. Now turn to Matthew 24. Look at verses 16. He says, let them that are in Judea flee to the mountains, let them on the housetop not go out, take the things out of the house, etc. What's that talking about? It's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Luke 17, Matthew 24, the destruction of Jerusalem. And everyone in here believes, if you are consistent with Matthew 24, 34, these things shall all take place before this generation happens, you know that's the destruction of Jerusalem. You see? Now then look at verses 40 through 41 of Matthew 24. And we'll bring this over here to Luke 17, verses 34 and 35. All right, Matthew 24, 40 and 41. He says, then shall two men be in the field, one taken, one left. Two women at the mill, one taken, one left. Watch therefore, you know not on what day the Lord cometh. To what? Now look over here at Luke 17, verses 34 and 5. He says, I'll say unto you in that night. In what night? Well, it's the night of verse 31, which is that day. What day? The day that's likened unto the days of Noah. So that night, that day, that night and that day are identified as the same. In that night, what night? Well, the night which is likened unto the days of Noah. Lot's wife looking back. In that day, in that night, to be on a bed. To grinding at the stone. Identical. It's destruction of Jerusalem. Now look at Matthew 24, verse 28, and Luke 17, verse 37. Luke 17, 37 says, and they said, Lord, where is all this going to happen? Where's all what going to happen? What's the major word throughout all this Luke 17 prophecy? Major phrase.
That's amazing. Coming of the Lord.
In that day. Says, you'll desire to see one of my days. And I'll tell you a sign for that day, and when the day comes, you won't believe it. It'll be like the day of Noah. It'll be like the day of Lot and his wife. He says, in that night, what night? In the night of that day I'm talking to you about. In the night of that day I'm talking to you about. And they said, well, Lord, where in the world is that going to that day take place? He says, well, where the body is, that's where the eagles will be gathered together. And in Matthew 24, in verse 28, he says, wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And that's in what context? The sea. Matthew 24, 15 to 28 is the siege. Where will it take place? In Jerusalem. Not the whole wide world. Now, what have we seen? If you look carefully at Luke 17 and read it and just keep with it, he says, you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. And he says, they'll say, here he is and there he is. He says, forget it, because as lightning shines and you can see it all over, he says, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. And what was that sign? The Roman armies surrounding Jerusalem, that was the sign. But he said, like it was in the days of Noah, you won't believe me. Didn't he say that in Matthew? Said that in Matthew. But what was the day of the Son of Man? It was a sign that was likened unto the lightning shining, which in Matthew 24 is in the context of the siege of Jerusalem. So this is not the second coming, it's the siege of Jerusalem. The language is identical. And he says, as it was in the days of Noah, that'll be in the days of the Son of Man. What day? Well, one of the days you're wanting to see that I'm telling you, I'm giving you a sign of, and I'm telling you won't believe. And he says in verse 30, that's where it'll be in the day when the Son of Man's revealed. How will the Lord be revealed? Well, when whatever I'm predicting happens, then my words will reveal that I am back of it, because I'm telling you before it comes to pass. And when Titus Vespasian comes, surrounds the army, digs a moat, and all these things happen, and my gospel's preached in all the world, and I'm crucified, verse 25 down here, that's got to be first. He says, you begin to stack it up, you remember what I said, remember all my prophecies, and I'll be revealed to you as truly God Almighty and Lord of heaven and earth. It's a historical proof, the Son of God. I would to God I could preach this to Congress. I would to God I could do it. This would convince them. Maybe it'd be like in the days of Noah. But this is all the same day. And then he says in verse 34, in that night. In what night? What a night of that day! And he said, where, Lord? He says, well, it's the same place I told you. I'm going to tell you later, Matthew 24. Jerusalem. The day of Luke 17 is all the same day. Today is all the self-same day. It's a day you won't believe. It's a day I'll tell you about. It's a day that doesn't need anybody to tell you about. I'll tell you about it. When you see the Roman armies, there it is. You won't believe it. But if you'll believe it, be like Lot, not Mrs. Lot. And they say, where, Lord? And he says, well, where a dead body is, vultures are, and I'm telling you, false prophets will prey on you. All the same day. And yet I've identified all this with the destruction of Jerusalem throughout the end times chapter. I used to think these verses talked about the second coming. But as I read Luke 17 and I know it's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, I've got the same language over here. I'm ready to stay with it. Now, questions on the destruction of Jerusalem. No, I got him here. Let's see if I can't get your question. Number one, how do we know Matthew 24, 4 through 14 is not speaking of the second coming? How do we know? Two answers. Number one, he's not talking about the end of the world. He's talking about the consummation of the age. You go to the original language, you've got it. He's not talking about the second coming. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Because verse 3, what did he say? What did they ask him? When shall these things take place, and what is the sign of thy coming and of the what? Of the consummation of the age. We're not talking about the end of the world. We're talking about the complete ending of the Jewish era, which would signify the end of the Jewish era. Number two, read Mark 13, 9 through 13. This is also a parallel passage. Mark 13, look at 9 through 13. Take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils and synagogues. You'll be beaten. You'll be before governors, kings, and stand for my sake for a testimony unto them. The gospel must first be preached unto all the nations. It's already been done. And when they lead you to judgment and deliver you up, be not anxious before what to speak, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit, which identifies this passage as a time when they're still speaking by inspiration, which has long since ceased with the ending of the apostles. This is identified with the first century, not with any century after the last apostle died. This is talking about a time when men still speak by inspiration. Okay? How do we know, then, that Matthew 24, 4 through 14, is not talking about the second coming? Because first of all, he doesn't say the second coming. Nobody's mentioning the second coming. The disciples didn't ask about the second coming. Jesus didn't say anything about the second coming. They ask him about the consummation of the age, the Jewish age. He said, I'll answer it for you, and by the way, it'll be when men are still speaking the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Number two, second question. Oh, by the way, if you want Luke 21, 12 through 19 for the same identification, you can have it there. Same identification. Luke 21, 12 through 19, they're still speaking the inspiration. Roman numeral 2. How do we know that Matthew 24, 13, if you endure to the end, the same shall be saved? How do you know that this is not talking about salvation from sin? Why do you believe this is talking about saving your skin from the context which is not speaking about redemption from sin? Look at Luke 21, 28, where it says, but when all these things come to pass, what things? Well, coming of the Roman armies, the siege of Jerusalem, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. What redemption? They've been saved from sin already. If they believe him, they're already Christians. They've already been saved from sin. What kind of redemption is this? And look down here at verse 36. Watch ye at every season, making supplication that may prevail to escape all these things. What things? The destruction of Jerusalem. You want to be in the city and be killed, or do you want to escape? Well, when you're on the housetop, you see the sign I'm telling you about. If you believe me, and trust me, get out. Go to the mountain. How do we know Matthew 24, 13? Those who endure to the end, the same should be saved. It's not talking about salvation from sin. Because of what we've seen in the context, which is not speaking of redemption from sin, but being able to be redeemed, to escape, seems to be the same thing, at least to me. So I'm telling you, you see, in my exegesis, this is what I believe. This is what sounds better to me than anything else. Now, all of us already believe Matthew 24, 4 through 34 is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem anyhow. Our problem is an exegetical problem. All on earth I'm trying to do is to give some consistency and exegesis to show you now what I believe, and that is that the latter part of chapter 24 is also talking about the same thing. And the great emphasis is, boy, with all these prophecies, that says Jesus Christ who prophesied all these things, and they begin to stack up now, aren't they? There's more than just the prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem, right? Well, I mean, you've got many prophecies here, aren't they? Hinging on the destruction of Jerusalem. But he says this will prove my what? My lordship. This will prove it to you. All right, number three. Do not the passages in Matthew 24, 30 and 31, which speaks of all the tribes of the earth, and in Luke 21, 35, when in Luke 21, 35, he says that, and so shall it, this the day of the Lord, this shall come upon all them that dwell on all the face of the earth. Don't you say to yourself, Ed, that's a wider destruction than just the city of Jerusalem? Well, boy, that's what I said for years, and I hung on to that because I was trying to be consistent. I said, all right, look here. He's talking about a destruction coming upon all tribes, a destruction coming upon all the world. And boy, that's bigger than Jerusalem. How do I answer that? Look at Matthew 24, 34. Where does Jesus talk about all the tribes of the earth? Matthew 24, 30 and 31. Look at it. Matthew 24, 30 and 31. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see, then, the Son of Man coming on clouds of heaven. And he shall send forth his angels with the sound of the trumpet. And you say, boy, if that's not the second coming, what is it? Verse 34 says it's this generation. Case is closed. Now that case is closed. That case is closed. I'll fight for that like it was true, because it is. That's doctrine. All things before verse 34 had to be fulfilled in that generation. Therefore, anything before that hadn't anything to do with the second coming. That's that. So don't make what you thought or think or looks like the second coming what the Lord doesn't allow to be fulfilled any other time but in that generation. Now that one you can bank on, can't you? That one you put a nail on. And then, look at Isaiah 13. And we're going to read something here. Here is a prediction of the destruction of the great nation of Babylon. Now, what are we going to do? We're studying about this all tribes. And we're studying about this judgment that's to come on all the world. And we're studying about this judgment coming upon all the world when the Son of Man comes from the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And it's the day of the Son of Man. Now look at Isaiah 13:1. Here's the burden of Babylon. In other words, Amos is going to predict the destruction of the city of Babylon. And he says, and we're going to read the whole thing together. Set ye up the ensign, the sign where all the nations rally. Upon the bare mountain, lift up the voice unto them, wave the hand, get their attention. Hey, hey, see that? That they may go into the gates of the nobles. Now the point is, I'm trying to get your attention, says Isaiah. Let me get your attention. I've commanded my consecrated ones, the ones whom I've set aside to do this job. Yea, says Jehovah, I've called my mighty men for mine anger, even my proudly exalting ones. Who was that? The Medes and the Persians. The Medes and the Persians were going to destroy Babylon. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, as of a great people, the noise of a tumult of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together. Jehovah of hosts, Jehovah of all the armies, is mustering the hosts for the battle. Who's brought this nation together to smash Babylon? Jehovah's done it. They come from a far country, from the uttermost part of heaven. Do you believe that? Well, yes. Well, no. Well, what? Well, they come from heaven or they come from Medo-Persia, from the Persian Gulf? Well, they came from the Persian Gulf. Isaiah said they come from heaven. It's a prophetic symbol. Even Jehovah, they come from what? They come even from where? They come from where? What does it mean they come from heaven?
God sent them.
God sent them, Jerry. That's right. They come from heaven, even from Jehovah. Huh. Where did Titus come from? Somebody says, Rome. I tell you, he came from heaven. Where did Assyria come from, Amos? Jehovah sent him. Where did he come from? From heaven. The uttermost parts of the heaven. For God is the uttermost parts of heaven. Can you see that reading the Bible is very important? It begins in Genesis. They come from... that's right, ain't it? That is right. This is a tremendous class. Y'all are just in the spirit of this thing, and I appreciate you putting up with me. I really mean it. This is so much fun. Now, verse 5. They come from a far country. Now, looky here. They came from heaven. Now, they're coming from a far country. You've got the idea already. God sent him from the uttermost part of heaven, even Jehovah. And the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. What's he going to destroy? The land of what?
Babylon.
Wail ye for the day of Jehovah's enemy. Hey, here's another day of the Lord, Jehovah Jesus. What is this day of Jehovah Jesus when Babylon's destroyed? As destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Who'll destroy it? Medes and the Persians. Who'll destroy it? Jesus. Therefore shall all hands be feeble and every heart shall melt. They shall be dismayed. Pains and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be as pain that takes hold of a woman in childbirth and travail. In other words, you can't get out of it. They shall look in amazement one another. Their faces shall be faces of flame, angry. Behold, the day of Jehovah cometh, cruel, with wrath and fierce anger, to make a desolation, to destroy the sinners out of it. Here is a judgment. The iniquity of the nation of Babylon was finished. It was full. And God Almighty uses His consecrated ones, His ones set apart, His servant, His battle axe, His weapons of war, as Jeremiah said, the Medes and the Persians. For why? Verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. Literally? The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause its light to shine. You say the same thing. You say the same thing. Boy, here it is. It's time to take an exam at Bear Valley under roaring and air. It's a dark day. Sun shining in all its strength, and Warren hits you with a Pentateuch text. Sorry, Ellen, look, I think you get the idea. Are there people today who have domestic problems, and it's a dark day? Here's a wife, her husband leaves her, and she's in depression. It's a dark day. Here's a nation about ready to be destroyed, and the sun going forth in its power. The sun won't give its light on that dark day. You got it? Have you elevated it from something as a test to destruction of a nation? He says in verse 11, I'll punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. The world? Who's he going to punish? The world or Babylon? What's this destruction coming on? Babylon. He says, no, it's coming on the world. No, it's coming on Babylon. It's prophetic. It's prophetic. Whose world would fall when Babylon fell? Babylon's world would fall. And the wicked for their iniquity. Iniquity's full. I'll cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I'll make a man as rare as the fine gold of Ophir. Therefore will I make the heavens to tremble. Hey, that's the language of Jesus in Matthew 24, isn't it? The earth shall be shaken out of its place. Matthew 24, verse 29. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the earth shall be shaken. That's Isaiah's language. He just borrowed that from Isaiah. Somebody says, didn't Jesus be risen? Well, remember, the Spirit of Jesus gave to Isaiah. So this is Jesus' language. This is his language in the first place. He says, I can say what Isaiah said if I want to. I gave it to Isaiah. Sun shall be darkened. Moon shall not give her light. Stars shall fall from heaven. Powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Verse 34, this generation shall not pass away till all these things are accomplished. Were those things accomplished in that generation? Mm-hmm. Well, then Jesus came on the clouds of heaven. And the sun didn't shine. And the moon didn't shine in that night of Luke 17. And the sun didn't shine in that day. And how long did that day last? For months and months and months that day lasted. And it was dark the night of... Now, consider with me the force of prophecy. Let's see the great historical proof not only of the deity of Jesus, but of the lordship of Jesus. What time is it?
11:35.
Fine, we're on schedule. I have already given you more than half an hour out early. Now look at it. The other 2 days. The force of prophecy. Only God can foretell the future with accuracy. Events that are so far removed from the present that it's humanly impossible to foretell. But Jesus foretold such events as that, therefore Jesus is God. Now then, he's more than God. He claimed, I will destroy this nation. Therefore this shows his lordship. Not only is he God, but he is lording the nations. He is the Lord of the Lords. He is the King of the Kings. And he hath a name upon his thigh where you wear your power. Boy, that's where your power is. Now we used to wear it down here when I was a Lone Ranger, you know. Like that. On his thigh over here. On his thigh. Over here they have that sword over here, you see. On his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's the power. His name has the power. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, consider these prophecies. Number one. Jesus foretold these prophecies. Jerusalem's destruction and the desolation of it. Number two. The gospel would be preached in all the world first. Matthew 24:14. Number three, it would happen before that generation of people passed. Matthew 23:32-36. Matthew 24:34. Number four, false prophets would claim to be the Christ. Matthew 24, verses 5 and 11. Number five, there would be wars in different spots on the earth. Matthew 24:7. Number six, there would be earthquakes in different spots on the earth. Verse 7. Number seven, there would be famine in different places in the earth. Verse 7. Number eight, Christians would be persecuted for preaching the gospel. Matthew 24, verse 9. Luke 21:12-16. Number nine, their destruction would be the world's worst before or after. Matthew 24, verse 21. And when all these things... And number 10, the resurrection was proclaimed. Matthew 24, 14. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, and you don't have good news till there's a resurrection. Now, when all these things came to pass, as Jesus foretold it, we've got to conclude that he knew these things would come to pass before they happened, and human beings can't know such things. Therefore, Jesus is not a human being. He is God. Now look here. The gospel, he said, will be preached in all nations first. There are 3 points I want to make on this. The gospel means good news. There's no good news when there's a crucifixion unless there's a resurrection. He prophesied he'd die, but he prophesied he'd be raised. Number two, he said it would be preached in all the world first. And it's been preached in all the world. Romans 10, 16 through 18, Colossians 1, verse 23. And that happened before Paul was martyred in A.D. 68 and Jerusalem wasn't destroyed until A.D. 70, but the siege began in A.D. 60, but the zealots rebelled in A.D. 68. And thirdly, the gospel didn't have a chance, humanly speaking, of going around the world. It didn't have a chance. And Jesus said it would happen anyway, and then the destruction will come. There are 5 points into this. Its founder was killed on a charge of sedition. How would they at all preach a good news when their founder was killed on the charge of sedition? Number two, its followers were scattered. Acts 8. Number three, its preachers were ignorant and unlearned. Number four, the Jews opposed it from the beginning. And number five, persecution set in against the whole church. Didn't have a chance, did it? They didn't have any money. Didn't have a chance, did it? And it got to the whole wide world before Jerusalem was destroyed. Hence, it's a testimony to all nations, both then and now, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ. When the city was destroyed and all those prophecies were fulfilled, what did you see? What did those Jews see? They saw Jesus Christ told the truth. Therefore, they saw him sitting at the right hand of power, and they saw him coming on the clouds of heaven to destroy Jerusalem as he predicted. I'm telling you, that is in the in an historical context. There's not a philosophy here. There's not a doctrine here outside the doctrine of his deity. There is an historical prophecy. There was a historical fulfillment. Therefore, I know Christ is real. I know God is there. I know he's ruling the nations today. This fulfillment came in history. Josephus records it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke recorded it. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is God. He's worthy. He is worthy of listening to. Believe it. Don't doubt it. Read your book. Be faithful to him. Serve him. Forget yourself. Be crucified with it. And serve him. Give him everything you've got. And you'll find the meaning to life. You'll find power. And you'll find eternity after a while. And that's what we're looking for. And take a bunch of them with you. While under the greatest commission given by the Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, we take Christ to a world of lost men that our joy and theirs might be fulfilled. God bless you as we go on our task of world evangelism. Thank you.